The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This week's show is brought to you by HealthyMail.com. Just go to HealthyMail.com or call 877-4-VIAGRA. That's the number 4 and Viagra spelled out. Use the code word GLORY and you'll get 20 pills for $49. And this week's show is brought to you by AdamandEve.com. Just go to AdamandEve.com, type in the word GLORY at checkout, and you'll get 50% off almost any item, a bunch of free stuff, and free shipping.
Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Recording live from Glory Hole Studios in Chicago, this is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode, we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome mat. Motherfucker, this is Cecil and what? Tom, and it is our 500th episode, 500. So we have...
Wow.
We've decided to despoil the glory hole. Think about what it means to despoil a glory hole for a moment.
It's a little crowded at the glory hole today.
We don't say that very often. A lot of times,
there's a lot of room.
There's a lot of Craigslist ads out there. A lot of bites on that. A lot of misconnections is what I'm saying.
Today,
at the glory hole.
Today, we have the Puzzle and the Thunderstorm guys in studio with us. Guys, welcome to the glory hole.
That's us.
Guys.
Hello.
Hey, real quick. It's always all dudes at the glory hole. What the? Well, just in case anybody out there has some fucking illusion otherwise, this is the gender makeup of the glory hole. Gentlemen, thank you for coming to the studio. Please do not come in the studio.
Too late. Now thanks for having us.
Yeah, right.
And let's talk a little bit about the friendship that we've gotten so far, especially between me and Heath.
Right.
Eli, why don't you go first?
Okay.
And talk about
you talk
it.
About
you talk
about whatever friendship you have like with somebody that hasn't been mentioned yet.
So we're just doing in order. I'll name them now.
No, order of reciprocation. Right, order of reciprocation.
Any order,
really
literally. Name a friend. 3, 2. Hats.
Wow.
Hats.
Cognitive dissonance.
We're so happy you guys are here. We got a lot to cover this episode. We're going to be covering a lot of stories, and we are super glad you guys made it all the way out here.
I thought Tom was going to get 500 wrong. I thought there was
it's 50-50. It's over under every time.
What's your batting average on that? It's like 50-50?
We don't.
The best part is now we have Ian to just correct it. It's amazing. He'll just fuck it up, and it'll be like, beep, sorry, Tom's an idiot. It is blah.
It was literally 500. Yeah. It's 500.
I'm right here, and you're going to hurt me like this. Look, I'm Irish. We don't measure everything, okay? No. And we really don't get it right.
It's a good size. You don't know what units. It's 500 something.
A sufficient episode. A perfectly sufficient episode.
We've gotten complaints. There's too many episodes.
Maybe we just speak this episode and do a lot of oral stuff.
Gary Busey said recently that Donald Trump would make a great president. Of course, he said the same thing about an old rusty birdcage he found.
All right, let's talk about this first story from Right Wing Watch. Johnny Enlow, God is using Trump to separate history into before Trump and after
B-T-A-T.
Trump eras.
Yeah,
that's isn't that just how before and after works?
I am going to use this time to separate us from... before the BLT to after.
And I know the BLT audience can't see this, but if you're going to find a partner, find someone that looks at you like this lady looks at Johnny Unlove.
Right.
I am like she is like a golden retriever puppy looking at her mom. Oh,
that's like the first lady
thing.
With Justin yeah. Trudeau.
To be fair, he does tattoo the insurance premium on the inside of his ear. So that's what she's reading. What?
He also wrapped his dick in begging strips. pro tip, that helps. That
yeah, I was going to say, yeah. let's not give away all
Tom.
The secrets.
I can use a whole begging strip.
Those are 87% effective.
You invite me to your home and you insult me.
That is 100% the right adjective, though. It's begging.
All right, let's play Johnny.
I was asking the Lord about it. He hadn't told me. And I was like, Lord, you still haven't showed me. And then on March, right when I'm saying that,
why don't you ever fucking answer my questions, God? I've asked you all of these direct questions. Oh, omniscient being who has created all matter and light, but can't fucking get around to responding to my email.
It's being withholding from this guy. It's weird that God would have that relationship with him.
If you're not picturing Heath as God, you're missing out right now. I don't like to pray.
Okay, look, I texted you 15 minutes ago, and I know you're not busy. I know you're not busy.
I saw the delivered thing. It popped in. I saw it.
You're active on Words with Friends. I see the little green.
Look, for God so loved spending time with the world that I don't want to talk about it.
I have this, it's not an open vision, but it was a vision.
Fucking open vision.
So it was a closed vision?
It was a closed vision.
Okay.
We should point out that he pointed to the back of his head when he said it wasn't an open vision. Maybe there's a wound she's looking at there.
Open vision is just the prelude to a divorced vision.
And getting kicked out of your job vision.
And in the vision, I see this circular mountain that goes up, and there's a path all the way up. And at the top is Donald Trump, and he's on a motorcycle. And
okay. This is a wet dream that he's describing.
Okay. First of all, and I know I'm focusing on the wrong thing here, but all mountains go all the way up. Definitionally.
That's so true.
We should have a guest pedant every week. That's amazing.
It wasn't a closed mountain. It went halfway up, and then there wasn't, but there was a top.
It was a Mobius mountain, actually.
It was a real bitch to get up there, let me tell you. It's one of those M.C. Escher mountains. You're climbing halfway up, then you're back down it. There's a fucking gecko for no reason everywhere you look.
I was trying to get to the inside of the mountain. I never ended up there. I was just on the same... mountain outside.
What is a circular mountain?
Yeah, that's what he said. It's like a circular mountain. Like, oh no, like it wasn't like a rhombus mountain. Like, let's not get crazy.
Like, don't they tend more toward the cone? Oh,
triangular mountains is what I'm more familiar with.
Is he just thinking about Epcot Center? Is he just thinking of Trump on a motorcycle on top of Epcot Center?
And he's on a motorcycle and he's making a lot of noise with it. And he has red, white, and blue bandana on his head. And so in an instant,
I ejaculated.
He's got one of those bandanas like half over his eyes, like suicidal tendency. All I wanted was a tax cut. Just one tax cut.
It wasn't hard for me to figure out what was being said. It's the only time I've ever, while seeing a vision, actually talked out loud. And I go, oh no, because
oh no, okay.
I was like, this means this is not going to be a peaceful exchange. This is not a peaceful transition we're going into. This is something more. And then I was brought in.
I could think of a no more peaceful transition than Trump driving a motorcycle off a mountain. That would be pretty fucking peaceful.
I like it. American history. Nixon flies away in a helicopter. Trump drives away in a motorcycle. Donald Trump, Baron Trump, when he's president, he just explodes on a big firework.
Liz Warren just runs away. Beep, beep, meow. Yeah.
Real close to the motorcycle, and it was Triumph, which is further confirmation. And so I was like, Lord, as I'm saying that, the first thing he said is...
Wait a minute. Is he saying that the motorcycle was a triumph?
It was a triumph, yeah.
That's how he knew Trump was going to win.
Yeah, Trump was
because
win.
God is just not even fucking trying with these visions.
Jesus Christ. A little on the fucking nose. Like, there's no explication required. Yeah. Like, Can you imagine he drives away on an Indian? You're just like, okay, we've done that before. That's just redundant now.
That said, imagine how hard it is to be God and send this guy a vision he gets.
Oh, I sent him a Honda. They did internment again. I don't know.
He said, I tried the burning bush thing. He set his wife's pussy on fire. I'm having the worst week.
He is going to save you from things you don't know you need to be saved from yet.
Syphilis.
He said, don't know.
That's a nice untestable thing, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Then the Lord progressively began to speak regarding that. And he said,
how do you progressively begin to speak? I'm going to be the pedant on this one. Are you just start off at like a low whisper and just gradually builds
like
on
a motorcycle? It's like the loud ass motorcycle.
This time in the presidency is going to be a hinge of the ages. And
a hinge?
Yeah, I think he said hinge of the ages.
Yes, and he's real proud of that one because he's going to say it 9 more fucking times before this clip is over.
So it was like a wall and now Trump's a door? Or with, that's a weird pick. Okay.
Be known as before Trump and after Trump because of the way I'm going to use him. I'm using him as a Trump card, but I'm the Trump card.
Oh, my God. It's a Trump card. He's going to trump his opponents. That's a word, so you can use it in a sentence. Like, what the?
He's talking about God. What? So in his head, God needs to like use special winner cards to win a game where the cards need to work out for God.
Yeah, reverse. God didn't just create everything. Skip.
Draw
four.
It was a no Trump in bridge. This fucks up my whole thing.
You have to call the game one. You can't call it Uno. Not in this kind. Not in this kind.
God's version of a skip card is childhood leukemia. Pick four is Octomom.
I got two of them. Fuck.
Hard player. And so your nation will be known as before Trump and after Trump. And he said the nations will be known as before Trump, after Trump. And the Lord he said, I'm really not interested in y'all's vote this time. I'm doing it. I usually give you all that option. This time I'm not. This is a rest.
Whoa.
Okay.
We got it.
Okay. So yeah. Tom and I have talked about this a lot since the last election, and many of the Christian the hard right pundits, especially the ones that talk about politics, have been saying Trump won the election because of God. Tom and I can only figure out two ways that that's possible. One, God just changed all the votes and didn't matter what you did. God just changed all the votes.
He didn't change it to a popular vote victory.
Exactly. No. I know.
No. He wanted to hedge it, make it look not suspicious.
Exactly. Yeah. He wanted to wanted to cover his tracks. Or the second option is he just changed people's minds that were going to vote for Hillary, but they just went in and they changed because they're blaming it on God. Is there any other option other than he changed their mind or he changed the votes? Like,
I've got one. What if he just divinely created a bunch of Russian propaganda?
I don't know. Maybe it was Ukrainian propaganda. How do you know?
Rescue operation from heaven. This is a moment of the ages. This will go down. This time period will go down.
Is he doing Movember really badly? It's the saddest end of. Yeah. Wow.
As a before and after AD, BC, AD.
BC, that's the one.
He did not know for too long.
He wasn't sure. Is he confused about the BCE thing? You think that's what he's confused about?
I can't imagine that this guy gives a rat's ass about being nice to Jewish people when he names the year. So no, I think it just took him that long to remember which letters we use.
Because if you watch it, you can.
I don't live in them times, y'all. I don't need to write that one on the check.
Because you can see him figuring it out. He's like AD or. Hinge Trump
Triumph
Planet Batat.
Depending on what terminology you use now.
I don't know that I disagree with him. I do think we're going to look at the world and be like, yeah, there was a time when things made some fucking sense.
Yeah.
And then there's after that now where we all live in an increasingly nightmarish dystopian hellscape from which we cannot escape.
Tom, half the people in our audience, more than half probably, have penises.
And I'm going to say it's more than half,
Cecil. The other bit like them a lot.
I'm sure,
right?
A good percentage of those.
A good percentage like them. And it could be that some have a man like them, and that's fine, right? We're not judging.
I was going to say, like, I have a penis.
Yes.
Yeah. And I got to say, I'm pro my dick.
I am absolutely pro my dick, too. Yeah. And if you're pro your dick,
yep,
you should check out Healthy Male.
You should. You know, just about every man over the age of 25 has experienced some sort of erectile dysfunction issue. And for some, it's more than just occasionally. So now you can avoid the time and the embarrassment of going to the doctor to get ED drugs like Viagra or Cialis by just calling Healthy Male. HealthyMale.com has been around helping men discreetly for over 20 years. They've prescribed almost 3 million prescriptions. They do it all online. There's no need to visit your local gas station and buy some of those phony snake oil treatments. That shit doesn't work.
Doesn't work. It's like 5 hour energy for your right. cock. It's totally not worth it.
Just because the name of something yeah. is horny yeah. goat weed
yeah.
doesn't mean it's going to do anything to your dick.
Exactly.
There's a reason yeah. drug companies are like, we found a thing that helps yeah. your dick.
If the horny goat weed worked, they would put it in a capsule and right. call it something.
Right.
Yeah.
Most orders are shipped in a day with discreet packaging right to wherever you're at, your home, your office, hotel, vacation destination, FedEx pickup location.
I will say this. Wait, you know, like eventually when they get the drone thing, you could be banging someone in your car and just call Healthy Mail.
Right?
And then
right.
they just get a drone delivery.
You just look, please hold.
Yeah.
just look, we're going to take a cuddle break.
I will say, please hold works so well during foreplay. It's amazing. It's amazing.
The best part, unlike most companies online, there's no subscription service that you have to cancel. HealthyMail.com will only ship your pills when you order them. It will never automatically charge your card every month.
So it's blue pill, not blue apron. Is that how it works? Is that how this works?
Right now, Healthy Mail is offering to our listeners 20 pills for $49. That includes the doctor's prescription and the free shipping. You've never gotten a prescription for anything that cheap.
No kidding, right?
Like, you can't even get the prescription, much less the drug. Like, the doctor's not seeing you
yeah.
and saying, here's how to fix anything for $49. Are you kidding me? You can order online at www.healthymail.com. You can call 877-4-VIAGRA. That's 877, the number 4, and Viagra spelled out. Be sure to mention the offer code GLORY. You get 20 pills for $49. Guys, requests for medications are not guaranteed. They still have to be approved by a U.S. licensed physician. Just know that. Go ahead and call 877-4-VIAGRA. See if you're eligible. Avoid the doctor's visits for your ED once and for all. Again, the offer code here is GLORY. This story comes from the Raw Story. Nepal's mass animal slaughter begins despite outcry. I love this story because the photo that they chose to use to open it up is just some dude with a fucking bandana on with an enormous curvy sword. Like, I am fucking these things right. up.
He's at the top of a mountain on a motorcycle.
But I'm sorry, but is he holding that sword backwards or is that just me? They're not supposed to curve in like that, are they?
I genuinely don't know because I don't have a lot
Could
of Nepalese animal slaughter swords. Here's the deal. They've got some fucking voodoo magic religious bullshit, which I guess means that they have to get dozens and thousands of animals together, put them in a place.
200 butchers.
Yeah.
So that tells you how many animals.
Yeah.
There.
And they just stab and slice and like fucking cut these
Mutilate
things up.
These animals. Yeah.
And then the fucking local yahoos and yokels, like they're like hooting and hollering amidst the like carnage of death and destruction. And they're like, well, all right, we scaled it back from the last time we did it. Last time we did it, it was last time I remember we covered it last time we did it. Yep. We were like knee deep, like yeah. not even
200,000 animal deaths.
Yeah, yeah.
Approximately.
But now they're ankle deep. So yeah. still, you know?
Right. But what's great about this is that someone from like the West was like, "Hey, hi. I know you live in a goat culture and you believe that you're pleasing the god Brahma by killing a chicken, a rat, a fish, and a buffalo all in the same day. But there's a white lady who got mad in between her yoga classes, and we need you to tone it down."
Right. Because let's be fair, like, okay, I live in South fucking Georgia. My niece, I shit you not, hunts deer with a crossbow.
Nice.
All right. So like,
that's wanting it.
You know, how is this worse?
Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing,
it's
too.
200,000
times less.
But
yeah. But yeah, it's
well, yeah, but I mean, she's not the only one yeah. doing yeah. it.
It's right. brutal.
Yeah.
I wanted a Nepal exchange program where they come see a factory farm and they're just like, what does your god need? You guys are fucking nuts.
Yeah.
What is this McDonald's god you guys are praying to? Can I just say he's overdoing it? This is a once a year thing for us.
You know, they get all these goats. They kill like 100,000 goats. I think they should just leave one alive and send him back to the rest of the goats and let them know what's happening.
Take a message back.
You need to go back and tell your friends.
It's like leaving
we mean
that,
fucking business. You know what I mean?
Leaving that spider carcass on the wall. So the other spiders.
No. Yeah. Don't come into this fucking house.
Spend 40 years denying the goat story, and then like a rock band tells everybody about it, and all of a sudden we agree that it happened. It was an Armenian genocide joke, everyone.
Allegedly.
There's an Armenian happened. Right now who's like, right. Yeah, Eli gets it.
No, there's not anymore, unfortunately.
Jesus Christ.
By the way, in this story, my favorite little detail is you don't have to... They pray. So, like, the people go to this thing. They pray to the god of whatever, and they're like, I pray to you, and my butcher friend's going to kill 3 goats for
you. Yeah, you do it in proxy, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
One guy out of, like, the billions of people that go to, I don't know, a lot of people go to this. One guy was like, I actually prayed, and I'm freeing 2 pigeons.
And the fucking headline, the story just really drills into that guy. They're like, see, they're not all bad.
But if you're allowed to do that, what's everybody else doing? Yeah. If you can pray to the god by being like, I'm freeing a goat, that like one guy can't just be like, I'm canceling the festival. Yeah. In honor of the goddess.
What's the arbitrary number with 2? At 1.2, they say that it like Eli said that they wind up killing a goat, a rat, a chicken, a pig, and a pigeon. Why 2 nuisance animals and 3 livestock? Like, why why that choice? Why that?
Yeah, if they just
balance?
Stuck with the rats, I think they'd, you know, we'd shut the fuck
nobody
up about
care.
It at least.
Like, yeah, whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Can you guys do this in New York City, maybe?
Exactly. Do it in Chicago.
This is Nepal, Cecil. Everything's livestock.
Do not, my friends, become addicted to water. It will take hold of you. And you will resent its absence.
This story, so it's nice to just have no more faith in humanity at all. So we'll move from the 200,000 animals slaughtered just so that the sky was happy about it to this one, which
to way
is
more humans
worse.
Slaughtered.
Yeah. Los Angeles Times, he wanted to ban feeding homeless people. Now he's about to lead a federal homeless agency.
Nice.
So Just to get the juice of the story, this is a guy who's basically his stance before he was in charge of the homeless was like, look, we don't want to encourage the homeless to be homeless by feeding them. Because I guess if they're hungry enough, they'll go buy a house.
But they think that they're pigeons. They think that like they're like human pigeons. And if I throw breadcrumbs out to them, they'll come back tomorrow and I'll be real sad because I don't want to have to keep doing it.
This is treating the homeless population like the bears in Yellowstone.
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. It's like the fucking bison or whatever.
I believe it was a great English author who said, if they're going to die, they'd better do it and decrease the surplus population. What do you mean that's the beginning?
Well, this is a guy who basically became famous for pushing back against the housing first model of how to deal with homelessness, because apparently they needed to name the what if we put them in houses, wouldn't they stop being homeless?
Yeah,
thing?
What is second after fixing? Like, once you do the first one, you can move on from the homelessness problem.
Well, not according to this asshole. This guy feels like he's got some, like, you know, housing fifth model or something like that he's come up with.
Hunger first. We're going to fix homelessness with more hunger. He actually uses the word enabler. As like giving homeless people food, you're being an enabler, like as if they're an alcoholic. They're a foodaholic and you're enabling their eating.
You give a homeless guy a house, that's just Heath. I'll tell you right now.
Well, you know what they say, give a homeless guy a hammer and he'll beat you to death with it for not giving him a fucking place to live, you asshole.
I want to read the Trump quote from this because I love it.
Oh, God.
We have people living in our best highways, our best streets, our best entrances to buildings.
Nobody lives on the bad highways.
What I want, though, is a Twitter account that rates entrances to buildings. Like 10, 11, much entrance. Like, that would be amazing if that happened.
What I love is that this man manages to say that in order to try to drum up sympathy for the roads and building entrances, right?
Real quick, you know, the other thing, too, is that he's not criticizing government spending so much on helping the homeless. What he was criticizing was donations from charity to help and feed the homeless. Like, he's, it's not even like, I don't want to use your taxpayer dollars for this. He's like, I don't even want you to voluntarily use your own dollars for this. Fuck them that hard. Yeah. The whole, like, the right is always like, wow, we can, the government doesn't have a place in fixing these problems. It's for charity to fix. And then he's like, well, what about if even charity got the fuck out of this problem? Yeah. What about if this problem just fucking died? Yeah. What if they just genuinely froze to death?
Genuinely. That's their fucking plan.
Well,
right?
Yeah, because how else are you going to reduce homelessness without giving them fucking homes? Yeah. Just kill them off. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Literally the quote right there at the bottom of the page there. It says, no one has got out of homelessness just because they got fed. That has never happened. So you get out by starvation from homelessness. Like, it works itself out in payroll is his fucking plan. It's like, for homelessness.
It's like Chronicles of Riddick. You got to kill a necromonger to get out of homelessness and then you could take their place. That's how it works.
He is now, and like, let's be clear, like, he is now the guy nationally in charge of this problem. He's going to take their coats. Like, that's going to be the thing he does next. He's just going to be like,
it's a national coat check. And they don't give you a slip. So you're just walking out like, I didn't get a slip. Well, we don't know where your coat is. I'm sorry. Fuck you.
Like, do you remember when we watched Wild Wild Country? Did you guys watch Wild Wild Country?
Yes.
Like, one of the things they did, like, they were like, we need more population so we can vote and, like, control the city council. And one of the things that they did is they're like, well, there's a bunch of people nobody else gives a shit about.
Yeah, the homeless
people.
If we
just bus them in and feed them, they'll give a shit about us. And that tactic kind of worked.
Yep.
Like, it wasn't a useless, ineffective tactic. It had problems because homelessness is rife with some other difficulties around mental illness and addiction and other things, right? But, like,
but they fixed that with free lithium.
Oh, they definitely fixed
free
it.
Surprise.
They definitely fixed it. They're like lifting their arms three times to see if they're asleep. It's like a fucking WWE ref.
Yeah, because they did. Yeah. They spiked
all their drinks.
They're like,
One of those homeless guy comes out the top rope.
It's just amazing that off the top rope. He's eating the top rope. Maybe we should have fed him before the wrestling
tournament.
They totally
drugged all those people. It's the worst. It's so shitty about it.
I'm not saying that they were good, but I am saying that was better than this.
God.
Yeah.
Like, the bar is that low.
Yeah,
the bar
is
like,
right.
Well, what about if we involuntarily drug them and manipulate them for our political
wins? At least they'd be fed and housed, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that the point of the church was to worship God and the boy fucking was just incidental.
No, it's just the other way around. The point of the church is the boy fucking. All the other stuff is just busy work.
All right, so we got a couple of stories that are all interrelated because, fuck, they are. So this one's from CNN. For a year, Catholics have pleaded for this bishop to resign. He finally did. And I read the headline for that story, and then I read the story. And at first I was like, cool, finally somebody resigned. And then I was like, oh, he was like 74 and is forced to resign at 77. He basically, like, took an extra 2 years of vacation.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the big punishment. It's like, guys, if you really push me hard, I'm going to stop working a handful of years earlier and with no extra punishment.
He was not going to get punished by the Catholic Church. So let's not pretend that was going to happen.
Even the resignation isn't like it ended his career like mid stroke or anything.
Yeah. I mean, the fucked up thing about this too is that, like, we are in a position where we're like, the Catholic Church isn't going to do anything to this guy and therefore nothing will get done. Right. Don't we have a whole team of people whose job it is to punish criminals?
Yeah. Well,
that's the thing is they say Catholics plead with him to resign. No. Grown-ups caught him fucking kids, and then they were like,
"Well, so he wasn't."
Yeah,
fucking
he was.
Kids.
He was moving people around like a chess piece.
He had a list that he wasn't telling people about, right?
Right. Yeah, I was gonna say he probably was fucking kids, but we don't know that he was fucking kids. But yeah, he had a list of people that were fucking kids, and when they said, "Hey, give us a list of the any lists you have of people that fuck kids," he gave them some of the list he had.
And then one of his aides was like, "I saw a list of like 80 more people."
Yep.
And released it, and she's a hero.
When you think about how often this happens, where they take one priest, they'll move him around, and they're constantly sort of obfuscating these guys who are doing horrible shit to children, and they only seem to care when they get caught. They only when it costs the church money is when it starts to become a deal. Because before then, who gives a fuck, right? Well, nobody cares, and there's nobody prosecuting them. Nobody does anything to these guys.
No, and the guy had a fucking list in his closet. And what's more, he's not the only priest with a list like this. Someone in Rome has a list of the lists of the rapists at this point, and we're still not doing anything about it.
Like, I think they run into the Excel problem of like final rapist list, final, last one, booty shark.
Like, at what point are we just going to decide, like, this is a criminal enterprise and not a church? Like, what more do you kind of wonder if they're just like, what more do we have to do? Look at our history. Look at our present. Look at every, like, what next steps do we have to take before someone's all right, full stop evil. Like, so, we can't use RICO Act to take these people down. We can't do anything. Instead, we're just like, well, those churches have a lot of nice stained glass. Have you guys ever been in one? Beautiful.
Yeah, and here's the fucked up thing is that, like, when the blowhard Alex Joneses of the world are trying to make up the worst thing they can imagine that the Democrats or that Hillary, whoever, is doing, they come up with the Catholic fucking church, right? They just put it in a goddamn pizza place.
I did just grow a great conspiracy theory. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Yeah.
The Catholic Church is a test from God. He was like, hey, Peter, here's the thing. You send down secret instructions, just fuck kids. And when they finally destroy you, I'll come back with my son and we'll have nice things. And instead, he's just up there being like, what? Why do they have a thing at universities?
Yeah, God was like, I thought this would take an hour. I've been up here just fucking picking my ass for 2,000 years. I thought it happened. I thought I'd dip out for a quick sandwich.
You know what? Jesus, turn the car off.
No, I'm telling you.
I want to keep it warm, too.
All right. New test. New weird signal for the test from now on. We did it. That was a little too extreme. I don't know why we picked that.
I will say, I think we're burying the lead in this story. The guy who's replacing this bishop in Buffalo is named Scharfenberger. And that seems like the story to me.
Most terrifying part to me, besides the obvious terrifying part, this guy's like, yeah, all right, I'm resigning, but, you know, I'll stay on as long as you need me to, like, train my replacement.
Oh, yeah, right. Like, what are you going to train him? Like the shell game?
Institutional knowledge. You don't want to lose that.
All right, so Christ. I run these summer camps.
All right, so yeah, he's not even going to know where all the lists are if I'm not here.
Booty Shark 8? Was it 8?
But now I'm picturing, like, when you shadow as a waiter, so he's just sitting behind while he's paying off some 7-year-old's parents, writing down, this is an unfortunate incident, but one that happens all too often. Do you want me to do your roll-ups while you're doing this? I just want to get it.
You have to sign him up for the loyalty program. Sign up for the loyalty. Get the kid's phone number.
All right, I got the weirdest punch card, but this is a great job. This is
we actually stole the one from this yogurt hut because the image still kind of works.
You know what's funny is...
It's like a little kid licking an ice cream. It's slightly suggestive. Am I right or am I right?
The weirdest thing about this punch card is they're all free. Yeah. So we don't... Well, not exactly, because the Catholic Church is paying $4 billion is based on a new wave of sexual assault lawsuits. And I do think that the only way that, because clearly justice is not going to be served in the criminal realm, right? This is not going to happen. Every once in a great while, somebody gets caught, they get thrown away, whatever, they get put away. But it is incredibly infrequent. Like, the only way we solve this problem is to hit them where they exist, right? This is a financial organization.
Yeah.
There's no way you can call this a moral organization when you're like, well, that dude rapes people. I don't know, put him in New Jersey to teach summer camp. Like, so all they are is a financial organization. Is the only way to stop them just to fucking bankrupt them diocese by diocese?
Yes, I would say.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, good. You know, I don't know that it's going to work, but I think it's worth trying. Yeah.
Well, I know that there are some states that are starting to treat them that way, right? A couple of states are saying, we're going to go after them hardcore, and we're going to try to make sure that we punish them as much as possible.
And Jersey is one of those states which has given birth to something truly beautiful. It's ambulance chaser TV commercials for
did
you get raped?
Yeah.
They're in Jersey. They are. It's literally the, like, call 800. You got hit by a car yesterday. Yeah. But they're like, did you get fucked in the butt last summer? Call our number.
Or J.G. Wentworth?
Well, I wasn't saying it because I don't know.
There's that guy's a lawyer. There's a lot of confused people calling, like, yeah, but it was fine. Like, I just didn't know I needed to report it.
But what's great is it's all of these Jersey ambulance chaser lawyers trying to do the did you get fucked in the ass? Gross. That's on you. But I can get you money.
at the law firm of McKinty and something something Irish. I fight for you.
They mentioned him in this article, and I couldn't get over the fact that, you know, think of how often people get injured in car accidents, and these people, like, that's what they're looking for, is that business. It's gotten so prolific
yep.
that there's enough people out there that they're like, we need to target them with a television commercial.
Yeah, right. Getting into a car accident, being exposed to asbestos, being raped by a Catholic
that
fucking
sounds like
priest.
Jersey, actually. Yeah, really, yeah.
It's true. But that's how they take the citizenship test there.
Isn't this one of those moments where you look around and be like, this shouldn't be a market opportunity? Like, we shouldn't have so much child rape that it creates a market yeah. opportunity.
Yeah.
Somebody's like, okay, weird business plan. Hear me all the way through.
Well, yeah, there was a pitch meeting, right? Yeah.
Right.
They were all sitting around and they were just like, you know, JG, this car chasing stuff, I don't know. How long is it going to last? Smart cars. But you know what never goes out of style? Getting fucked by kids. Yeah, sure.
Well, and so here's the fucked up thing about this story to me, right? So this $4 billion number, this is an estimation based on 8 new states that have either relaxed or gotten rid of the statute of limitations on child rape. So they're going to have, like, basically they're having a statute of limitations holiday in New York, for example, for like 2 years, where you can go back and sue people. Yeah. So what that means is that they could have gotten rid of the statute of limitations on child rape, but instead they decided to put a pause on it or have some kind of half measure. Why would you ever have that fucking statute?
Yeah. Yeah. And well, it's like a holiday, which is an upsetting word for that, too.
Yeah. Well, and you also, you are all the cards for that belated? Like this.
You don't want the foot dragging rape victims coming forward. You know, like, oh, there's paperwork. I don't have stamps. Right? You want the ones who care they got raped.
This is $4 billion worth of money. And I was thinking to myself, I was like, that's like 1/5 a border wall. You could probably wall up every single priest in America for $4 billion. Wow. Like, sure. Individual, huh. Like Cascavel Montiato style wall them up. You know?
It's like there's one or two stadiums. We can just put them all.
I think we should try Cecil's idea before we reject it.
Also, I saw a stat in one of these articles. The average payout is $350,000 per victim since 2003.
Do that division on $4 billion.
What the fuck? Also, that's way too low, isn't it?
Yeah, right?
Hey. I think you should be allowed to pay $350,000 and rape a guilty priest. Like, if that's the number, okay, but then that's the number going back.
That's the number, right?
Yeah. That's how it works.
So, Tom, right now, our sponsor, AdamandEve.com. And AdamandEve.com, I just want to mention, if you like to fuck.
If you don't.
Really?
Yeah.
But if you like to fuck and you like to get fucked, AdamandEve.com is a great sponsor for this show because they provide oils and lubes and things to fuck with and things to get fucked with and things to put on stuff and things to put under stuff, things to put around stuff. I mean, you basically could pack that shit in airtight wherever you want.
And the nice thing is with the code GLORY at checkout, you won't get fucked on the price.
Exactly.
Because you get 50% off almost any item at AdamandEve.com. You get a ton of free gifts. You get free DVDs. There's something for you, something for her, something for both of you guys. No sex swing right now. Yeah,
no sex swing. But free shipping.
Free shipping.
We get to swing it out to you that way instead. You get free. All you have to do is enter Glory at checkout. You'll get all that stuff. And fucking has never been so fun.
So here comes your right-wing watch, Augusto Perez. If you oppose Trump, you need fasting and prayer because something is wrong in you. Okay, we just got to listen to this show.
So one of the things that we did this year, because we were just finding ourselves doing too much Trump stuff, you could just do it like the entire show. So we decided to like try to keep Trump in one little section. But even still, all these religious people, that's all they talk about.
Yeah.
How do you guys get, you guys just have to deal with it? Because I know that Scathing tries to stay a little bit out of politics, at least somewhat out of politics. How do you guys get around that? I mean, every single one of these guys is always talking about this stuff.
Yeah, well, we basically have to do the same thing. What I have to do a lot of times is I look over the headlines we're doing and I'll be like, all right, maybe somebody's fucking around in China or something. Looking for the non-Trump stories, especially because we also do a politics show that's going to be 99% right. about Trump as well. Right.
Maybe somebody's fucking around in the Ukraine. No, that's him. That's him.
All right, spin the globe again. Spin the globe. Uzbekistan, Ukraine. Fuck Uzbek- you.
Nope.
All right, here goes.
London, no.
Here's a gusto.
This is not about a man. This is not about a party. This is not political. This is spiritual. And I have to tell you this, because if not, I would be a liar. I would be a hypocrite. So I have to tell you this. If you hate this man, if you hate this president, if there's something in you that you hate this man, I strongly counsel you to go on a fast.
Yeah,
because if I'm hangry, I'm going to dislike him less. Yeah. Like, if I fucking skip breakfast, I'm like ready to stab somebody in the fucking eyeball for a sunny side up egg.
Like, you eat a Snickers, you turn into Matt Gaetz all of a sudden.
You don't get to interrupt me now.
Prayer and seek the Lord with all your heart, because something is wrong in you. You have been deluded. You have been blindfolded, and the enemy is having his way with you.
All right. So all you need so far is a safe word and a nice afternoon away from the kids.
Snickers.
You're gonna have a good time.
No Snickers. No Snickers. Because he's saying fast, right?
He's saying fast.
Also, 9.5 weeks remake starring Augusto Perez and Matt Gaetz. Yes, please. 9.5 weeks was a movie about sex before porn was on the internet, young people. So, we all jerked off to it. It was fun.
Let me give you a piece of advice also, okay? Though, if you still hate Trump, forget about the man himself, the personality.
Okay, hold on. I'm willing to hear this part of the advice out. Because nothing in the world would make me happier than forgetting about Trump.
No shit, right?
Like, if I could find the part of my brain, surgically remove it, that has that word and the image of his bloated neck skin embossed into my fucking hippocampus forever, I would excise it with a fucking ice pick every day and twice on Sunday.
I love how quick the guy he's with is to say, yes, forget about, please forget about the man. Right? Every Trump supporter, as soon as it comes up. Yes, no, we can ignore all that, can't we?
It's the disclaimer that literally every single pundit, the far right pundits, all say. It's like, well, you just got to take away Trump himself, and you got to take away these actions that he's doing. You got to take away, because he's from God, and you just got to take it. You know, you can't be counting all these things against him. We hear that. We've been hearing that for three straight years.
Yep.
Well, I love too that, like, this is a guy whose entire brand is based around a cult of specific and individualized personality.
Yeah.
All that he does is stand in front of a helicopter and scream at reporters about, like, nobody else could have done the centennial for ladies but better than me. I'm the only one. Me. And then the other guys are like, all right, ignore him specifically. And you're like,
there's nothing else. It's not like you can look at his policies or anything.
Well, look at all the things I've gotten done. When you have some extra time, okay?
I can almost count to 100. Not exactly, but I can ballpark 100. That's pretty good.
I made a load star.
He's a guy who thinks that... This is a guy who thinks that Elemento is one letter when he sings, you know?
Yeah. Forget about it. Focus on what he stands for. And what he has done.
Here you go, Noah. Here's what he's done.
So
let's focus on what he's done.
Right, but apparently this Augusto Perez thing has mistaken him for fucking Batman. Listen to the list of shit he's done, according to this guy.
I love, too, that, like, focusing on what he stands for. The man is literally a metaphor for racism and homophobia
misogyny.
And xenophobia and misogyny. Yeah. Like, that's the worst thing you could do if you want to, like,
cheating at golf.
Guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right.
It's like the worst.
Driving on the green with your cart.
He's a metaphor for the worst, most debased, garbage, shitty parts of us. And he's like, focus on what he stands for.
Focus on the well-done steak and the ketchup.
Think of the omelet station. It will guide you home.
Anymore. Is that the worst thing he's done? The worst thing has
drive
to be
on the green.
Steak and ketchup.
Steak, well,
that's
steak
pretty ketchup is bad.
I'd rather eat a well-done steak with ketchup than drive my cart on the green. If I had to pick
I would rather drive a fucking A1 Abrams across the green than eat a steak, a well-done steak with ketchup, or even watch somebody else do it.
Tom's just driving his A1 Abrams all around the golf course.
Woo! Four like, bitches! Four! Dude, just fucking doing donuts on the fucking rear.
I would play golf if I could shoot golf balls out of a tank, though. I'll tell you, I would play that in a second.
That game suddenly has more value to me.
Man, that'd be amazing.
I changed my answer to sexual assault. Yeah. I had to think about it.
Thanks for thinking about it.
Every time we get together,
we're going to rank them. I mean, you're going to rank it. Yeah.
Because if you look at that, he is doing our father's agenda. He's tearing down the pedophile rings, human trafficking.
What? Pedophile rings? Is that like a weird game of jarts where you like you gotta throw the rings around a kid to capture them? And then
not the whole kid.
You can't play that game anymore. They've recalled that game. Unless you're in the church, I guess. Then
it's
maybe.
A weird event in American Gladiators.
Pedophile rings.
Yeah,
but that one American Gladiator is like crazy good.
He's really good.
Well, they allowed it in his home country. That's why. So, yeah.
He's retiring now. Yeah. It's fine.
The Vatican City was his home country.
Drug smuggling. He's also coming against abortion. He wants.
Okay, maybe we want to rephrase coming against abortion. Yeah. How you end up needing the abortion.
I think that might be what's in his tax records is how many abortions he's written off.
Wait a minute. Are those write-offs?
Yes, they are. If you pay for somebody else's medical expenses. Oh. Yeah, it's always a write-off. Yeah.
Gosh, we need a guy to do these taxes for us. I'm telling you what.
You know when Noah says a smart thing and then I think a stupid thing because of it? Now in my head, I'm starring in a movie.
Scathing atheist?
Yeah, exactly. Now in my head, I'm starring in a movie about a guy who writes off all of his taxes by just going around the country paying for abortions.
Get rid of abortion, all of it. He has already defunded Planned Parenthood, and they're fighting him tooth and nail. He has appointed many constitutional judges, two Supreme
Court. Man, I need you to be way better at saying the word constitutional. Constitutional. Too many T's.
Are there non-constitutional judges?
Yes, actually.
Yeah, Neil Gorsuch.
He's found a few of them.
Court justices. He is bringing this nation back to righteousness.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Is appointing Supreme Court justices supposed to be an accomplishment? Like, if somebody retires, then that's the thing he has to do next.
Yep. Well, unless, of course, Mitch McConnell is running the opposition on you. Yeah.
Fair enough. I guess it would be an accomplishment. But it shouldn't be an accomplishment. And that's structurally broken.
Trying to. He has given the Christians a voice. He's protecting the Christians. He's protecting the churches.
Finally, the Christians have a voice.
He is stopping all these Muslim terrorists from coming in. I mean, he is doing the will of the Father in this country.
Yeah. Fred Trump, the Nazi.
China has total respect for Donald Trump and for Donald Trump's very, very large brain.
All right, so this weekend, Trump is, we got four stories.
Do you have a theme song?
We play, so when Ian does it, he does have like a whole theme thing he does, but when I'm mixing the show, I just play one clip.
I'd like to improvise a theme song.
Go
ahead.
Oh.
Dun, 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 dun. Smelling a bump, there's something, 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 it's This Week in Trump. Pretty good. If you could take that and
Ian,
just like digitize it.
I want you to work on it if you can. It. Thanks, buddy.
All use right. your Grammy.
Yeah. I can't believe that was just boom off the top of your head.
It was amazing.
Right?
All right, so.
I didn't even realize that rubba bee bubble bump rhymed with Trump.
Stump.
She said it.
I fucked it up.
So Trump, who slashed taxes by $1.5 trillion, is pushing cuts to food stamps. Audio of private Trump Tower meeting reveals how Donald Trump won over evangelical leaders. Trump caught on microphone congratulating himself about his Trudeau attack. That was funny when I said that
guy's
two-faced. And Trump claims Americans have to flush the toilet 10 to 15 times as opposed to like one single time. We're going to cover the less crazy stories first.
Which is the less crazy one?
Yeah, well, I'm a little confused
the less
on that
crazy one.
Either.
The less crazy one is that how he won over evangelicals.
So one of the quotes that I really like about this is, any leader who tackled the wedge issues with Trumpian ferocity was on the side of righteousness. And that's, we've talked about these wedge issues for years. You know, Newt Gingrich was the sort of the father of the wedge issue.
Yeah.
And he's the one who brought this in, you know, making sure that abortion is front and center with all the Christian right in this country, talking about that over anything else. And Trump has really embraced these wedge issues. And I think, I don't know that this hidden tape helps anybody, right? I don't, everybody knew how he won them over. I don't, did you guys watch The Family? Did you guys see that? Did anybody watch that? Mm-hmm. Did you guys watch this? So in The Family, they talk about specifically, one of the things they talk about is the Wolf King, they call it. And the Wolf King is someone who you don't care if he's Christian or not. You just want him to be a bulldog for your issues. You don't give a fuck about what his fucking personal morality is.
Right. And this all comes from the fact that the early Hebrews always got their asses kicked. Basically, throughout their entire history, they got their asses kicked. So then the person that kicked their ass would get their asses kicked by somebody else. And they'd go, see, that was us. That was us. Our God decided to use some other religion's dude to kill the guy that was pissed at us.
Just a note on that. Like, I feel like if I get beat up and then the guy who beat me up gets beat up, that just makes you feel worse. That's an insult to injury moment, isn't it? You're just like, oh, but I was beaten by the best.
That means like
then my dad showed up and beat up a child and I win.
Also, too, he's pushing for cuts for food stamps. And this article, I think, goes to a really good examination of not only is he trying to cut away these programs, which they call entitlements, right? And they're cutting away these programs, but he's also like since he's taken office has cut so much. And now they're going after these tiny little pieces of, you know, what the right calls entitlements.
Yeah, but this will have a massive impact on our economy. I mean, not like in dollars and cents or in good terms, but in the idea that like people won't be able to eat and so they'll be less functional in the workforce because they're hungry. Okay, and we'll feel better about knowing that hungry people didn't get us. Well, he has a lot of food himself. I'm just saying, like, if you look at the man, clearly food is not a scarcity.
Just win the Super Bowl. He'll give you burgers. The crazy thing about SNAP is that, like, when you talk to people who are against food stamps and they don't know that most SNAP recipients are children, like literal children, and there's this great moment you get to watch every time you have this conversation where someone rededicates themselves to saying fuck a child, right? Like, look, every Trump supporter has that moment where you go like, but what about this thing, and you say it as a question and you watch their brain clunk into that first gear and be like, most of these kids are too fat anyway, man. They got them fruit roll-ups when I was a kid. You just took an apple skin, you rolled that out, that was our fruit roll-up. I'll tell you what.
All right, let's go to Chick-fil-A.
Let's go to Chick-fil-A. Or we could eat these sandals we're wearing. Either way, same flavor.
So, and I love, too, that the argument that's presented. Okay, so this story is coming from this, you know, he's been trying to do this forever, but there was a new study that showed just how many people would be kicked off of SNAP if he did this. And the chief defense that most people have used is, yes, but those people already have jobs or wouldn't. It's not like this is their only source of food. You think that makes you less of an asshole?
Yeah.
But they still have some food. Well, kudos to them.
Well, also, it's like, well, those people have jobs. It's like, that's the whole point.
Yes.
Like, that's worse. Like, the guy who doesn't have a job and it's like, I don't have anything at all. We're just like, well, that guy's like, I'm working and I'm still poor. Wait, that's how fucking broken the goddamn system is. Is that somebody wakes up and they go to work and they're like, I don't have anything left over and I'm working real hard for it. We've talked about this before. It's like, if I'm going to be fucking poor and have to accept assistance and like get shit on by everyone everywhere I go, at least I don't need to be fucking exhausted at the end of that.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, like, how I got poor? I got hired by Walmart.
Right. Yeah.
That's how I got poor. And then Trump went and cut corporate taxes on places like Walmart for a huge amount of money compared to this tiny amount that they're going to save here.
Exactly, right?
So dumb.
And what's weirder is the people who are like, fuck that guy, are statistically that guy.
Yes.
So he's just sitting there in a mirror being like, look at you, you fat lobster buying son of a bitch. No, I work on the night shift. I can't sleep because the dreams will chase me back into the real world. Fuck you.
We live in a world where entitlements for poor people are like,
I get to eat once in a while. And entitlements for the rich. We talk about this tax cut is like, yeah, I want more money to invest in a, many different houses.
What if my money doesn't have any other money to cuddle with? What are you talking about?
So my money just money
gets lonely. What the fuck?
So my money just never has a threesome. Is what you're saying. It just goes through life without ever having a threesome.
My wife can't get her boobs upgraded. And you expect to eat a sandwich you bought at, ironically, Walmart.
My neighbor talks shit about my dogs. I'm a libertarian candidate for president. Can we go back to the picture of Trump at the top of that story
for a second?
Can we just dwell on this for a second?
Absolutely. Let's talk about it.
Look at the... So you guys ever go to like a cocktail bar that does a lot of old fashions? And there's the orange with the little peel part?
Yeah.
Does that not look like what's happening there? Little like chunks out that are just all white and pithy and then the rest?
No, it
you
looks
seriously
like...
took my favorite drink and just made it.
Did I ruin old fashioned?
Just ruined it for but, okay.
All right, so let me do something different with it. Have you ever been in like a really old car, like with the bench seating and it's starting to crack a little bit at the edges, and some places the stuff is missing entirely and you have the sub seat going on? That's his face.
His face is the sub seat.
Quick question. And your car's a Nazi. Yeah.
Do you ever have a friend who takes pictures of their baby too early? That's what it looks like. Oh, you should have waited a couple of weeks for that squeezing to wear off.
Isn't it true that your nose is supposed to continue to grow through your life? Is the rest of his face just extruding out past the nosular region?
Yeah, his cheeks are like a Play-Doh fun factory at this point.
For real. Yeah.
It's like that house that's been painted too many times and the plug isn't, you can't even see it anymore.
I don't know. I have moments of empathy at moments because I feel like Trump, hear me out. We all know a shitty Trump. And no one accidentally made, Russia didn't accidentally make our shitty Trumps in our lives president, right? Like your guys' former boss and my shitty former boss, nobody was like, hey man, now the whole world's going to pay attention to what you have to say. That, I feel like I have a slight sympathy because he should have just died on top of his secretary and instead he has to go to jail for grown-up crimes. Like it just seems like a lot.
Let's talk about Trump getting made fun of by other world leaders. What happens is there's a camera that's far away from the world leaders and they're pointing mics at them and they can only hear a couple of things. One of them is Justin Trudeau saying, and then he just called a press conference like randomly, like, why would you do that? And everybody around him laughing and Mark Cohn's there and Boris Johnson's there too. Yeah, Boris Johnson's there too. Who's like if you're getting laughed at by Boris Johnson, that's like you going to a podcast convention and David Smalley is making fun of you. Like, it's so embarrassing.
Cognitive dissonance walks like this.
But in any case,
but it's also, and I love this so much. It's also Trump's goddamn nightmare, right? Yeah. That as soon as he's out of the room, all the other world leaders are making fun of him, and he actually got to see that. Yeah. As if you didn't love Justin Trudeau enough, right?
But like, there has to be like, he's surprised. But did he think he walked out of the room and all the world's leaders are like, man, he got us. Oh, yeah.
That guy's fucking killing it. He's crushing it out there.
Did you see him grab my arm and pull me like that?
he pull-started me like a fucking lawnmower. Did you see that?
This is a guy who doesn't know that the rest of the world is like, oh, God, how many more years? Yeah. How many more years can America stomach this? But, like, they make fun of him, and he's like, later, he, like, tweets out a thing like, Justin Trudeau is two-faced. And then later he's like, that was real funny when I made fun of that guy that made fun of me.
He's like,
are you six?
He's like, hey man, how about when I said you're two-faced, huh?
You know,
boom ya, boom ya. Oh, dude, you hear my sick burn?
oh, let's do it again. Okay, you be Justin Trudeau. I'm gonna be me. I'll be me.
My favorite joke. Hold on, you're gonna love this, Eli. My favorite joke that I saw. It's not mine, but someone on Twitter had posted. That picture of Justin and Melania and Trump, and it's when Melania is turning just perfect and the camera catches her just gazing at him, like looking at him all like lustfully.
A real man.
I don't know if you've seen if you guys have seen this, but I'm sure the audience has seen it. And someone had tweeted a photo of that and said, which one of Justin's two faces do you think Melania would like to sit on? And someone in our fan page had the best answer, and their answer was the black one.
I thought that's what that joke meant.
Oh, amazing.
I just read the first part.
I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Now in my head, I'm formulating that like Trump is constantly coming to other people and being like, so did you hear? Like, cause we all know the guy who like tries out a catchphrase. Yeah. He's like, you know, they call me the bomb. Huh? What do you say? Can I officially put the bomb on my little NATO nameplate thing? Can I do that, Tyler?
So, but that's the thing is that I don't know if you guys have read the book, the anonymous op-ed writer.
No, not yet.
But that's exactly what the fucking book says, is that, yes, he does that. Like, for like a week and a half, he sees a graphic that he likes about something, and that for a week and a half, no one can get him to talk about anything except for the Game of Thrones sanctions are coming tweet.
Oh, my God.
Right? So, yes, that's exactly what happened. Every conversation with him is probably him saying, hey, you remember that time I told you about that story where I asked you if you remember that time? That's every conversation you have with him.
That is the least surprising thing I've ever learned about Donald Trump.
Right.
Because it's something he says all the time, like, nobody else could be as great as I could be as great as I am. So great. Did you see me great? So good.
Trump is just one forgetting to cover his mouth cough away from being a toddler trying to tell you a joke. So anyways, I said to her that she cut that I would.
So. All right, we're going to play this clip now. This is Trump claims Americans have to flush the toilet 15 times as opposed to once.
I love that he has to put as opposed to once,
right?
So that we understand the context of 10 to 15.
I know how many times you're supposed to flush a toilet.
He's the type of guy, though, that would like finish dropping like a fucking major deuce and walk out and call the maid to flush the toilet.
I want you to look
at it.
I'm
done.
He just throws her the keys and walks out. What are you doing?
I made a boom boom.
He's bending over touching so he could get wiped. Yeah. All right.
Mr. Trump, why does your poop have a keys?
Just pull them around.
Like, at what point are you just like, okay, I just need more fiber?
Yeah.
Like, that's not, this isn't even a low flow toilet. Like, I just need more fiber.
Oh, gosh. All right. So, this is
little deuce coop.
This is
done.
There we go. We have a situation where we're looking very strongly at sinks and showers.
What?
Why?
What's happening in your life?
Okay. And what's the weakest you can look at a shower?
And did this all start because someone was like, you know, Mr. President, we've been really concerned about the toilets. Why don't you check that out for a little while?
You know how Mexicans are getting in? The plumbing.
Don't worry, Tyler. I'll keep an eye out.
There's some. They're like families in Flint, Michigan, who are like, yeah, we've been asking for this for a long time. If you can take a look.
And other elements of bathrooms.
Oh.
Where
trans people are inside of them flushing our toilets again and again.
Elements, though, like, is he talking about the medicine cabinet? What is he talking about?
You know how you go into someone's house and you open the medicine cabinet and then they've got that vagina stuff and you think, ew. Like, that's an issue for her. It changes the way you see her as a person.
And you're constantly sniffing around her from that point on. You're just like, now I can smell it. I think I can
you
smell
it. You thought
it
was perfume, but now you realize it's a medication.
What world are we living in where someone just could be like, flush your toilet, it's the police.
That was 14.
Yeah.
One more time.
You turn the faucet on in areas where there's tremendous amounts of water, where the water rushes out to sea because you could never handle it.
Sorry.
What does, wait, hold on now.
Sorry. Where do we start?
Is he describing areas called rivers of immense water where they rush out to sea?
They rush out to sea.
Which means in his head, there's an amount of water you can handle that rushes out. Like, he's standing at the front of a water pipe somewhere.
This is excessive.
Like, this is fine. This is fine. I got it.
Isn't embedded in this, like, okay, we got to use all of it we possibly can. What if we didn't use some of the available fresh water immediately on silly shit?
That greedy ass sea would get it. Yeah.
And you don't get any water. You turn on the faucet, you don't get any water.
No.
What does that mean?
Like, that means somebody's going around and turning the fucking thing under the sink to fuck with it.
Yeah, it must be. Right?
Just, look, if you
I really hope that's what's happening at the White House. Some
is just following him around. And another one just in front of him is waiting ahead.
Tyler, this one's out of water too.
This is unbelievable.
You gotta do it. I gotta wash
my hands. Is there a river near here?
It's like an enormous
Are we on the Potomac or something? I keep hearing people say Potomac.
I gotta wash my hands with chocolate syrup again.
Also, we should point out this video you were watching. You can see Anderson Cooper. He's just asking with his eyes why he's not allowed to kill himself.
Yeah,
and,
Andy,
baby, I'm so with you.
Yeah.
Like, you wanted to be a reporter, and I wanted to be a podcaster, and now we're just like, maybe the president washes his hand with chocolate. Who knows?
He made a boom boom. 13, 14, 15.
Take a shower, and water comes dripping out. Just dripping out very... quietly dripping out.
Very quietly. Very. Okay, somebody. It's like somebody's playing Mad Libs with the guy. Okay, give me an adjective. How do things drip?
Well, no, that's exactly what it is. Because you can see him trying desperately to think of a water adjective before he settles.
Best water. Stupid.
No, no.
Slithering one? No, that's not.
Very.
No.
Very water.
I feel bad
water
about
very.
That one.
Is he taking a bath in a low flow toilet? Is he just going to. I've been all
he's
over.
Flushing it 13 times.
Like I've used a low flow toilet and been, shall we say, disappointed by its lackluster vigor. But I've never been in a low flow shower where I've had a similar experience. You're like, well, now I still smell bad. Like, is he just splashing himself upward?
Well,
with
and
this?
Then you got to compare. You got to consider he's got those Russian prostitutes to compare it to. Think all the vodka.
Oh,
they're like he's got a
pressure,
lot more water
high
pressure.
Yeah.
I feel like this confirms Noah's theory, though, that there's the aide like walking right behind him, turning the sink all the way off, but the shower almost all the way off, so that he has to get in and be like, ah, it's dripping. Oh. It's just a little bit. Because if it was totally off, he'd just be like, it's broken.
You know when you go
God
to a
damn environmentalists.
House, you know when you go to a friend's house and they have like a weird shower, so you have to do that thing where you're like, please turn your shower on for me. There's seven knobs and none of them are have anything to do with hot or cold. I bet that's what he has to do with every shower he ever. It's all a puzzle that he can't solve.
Up, up, down, down, left. Damn it.
Are you showering in a lot of escape rooms, Eli?
I'm totally with Eli on this one. Like I went to a friend's house one time and had the shower where you have to pull the thing on the
feels
tub.
Like you're gonna touch a
you
vagina
gotta,
by the
yeah and you gotta pull the
front and center
the tub the where the water comes out you have to pull down on that thing
on
to
the
get the
spigot,
shower
yeah.
to go on and like who the fuck would ever think of that.
Right. I'm sorry you didn't just think to start wrenching at random objects in the room.
Things that shouldn't normally move are moving around in this place. I don't even know what's happening.
Well, see that fuzzy part of the tile, you just put your hand through it. Like Donkey Kong Country.
People are flushing toilets 10 times, 15 times, as opposed to once.
Oh, Anderson, I love you so much. In that clip, I recommend you go online and watch this. Anderson mouths,
15
what?
Times?
But not what, like, oh, look at me, I'm doing a joke, but just like, I'm Anderson fucking Cooper. I sit on a yoga ball
15 times. What does did he? You do to that thing?
You know, 15 if times? It's 15 times, you know, he's like gone out of the room and got a coat hanger to cut it up so he can like get it to flush. He's like got a mandolin out there and he's slicing it into little.
I'm 8 or 9 times and I'm looking for something to bail it out the window. Are you fucking kidding
he's
me?
Got, he's got his mixer, his stand beaters, and he's just mixing it up to try to get it to flow.
Getting stiff.
Yeah. He's just like, nope, not there yet. Here we go. You gotta keep going on this. Yeah. What are you flushing a hooker down the toilet? Like, what are you doing?
Probably.
It's like, I'm done with her. She already peed on me. I'm just gonna shove her in here.
They end up using more water. So EPA is looking at that very strongly at my suggestion.
What are they looking at exactly?
Okay, we have a very good friend that's a scientist at the EPA, and I absolutely guarantee, one, she is not looking at this very strongly.
God, no.
Two, if she got a memo to look at this very strongly, she would fucking kill herself on Facebook Live.
And do I have this right? He's suggesting that places with too much water should flush more to solve that problem.
Yeah, right. Like
that's what he's saying.
Yeah, I think he's saying like places that flood, because that's what
this would
too much water
flooding.
That yeah. So, like, Houston, like, Galveston gets a fucking major hurricane.
Holy
just
shit,
like,
I didn't even get
the fucking toilet. Watch out.
Just New Orleans flushing. FEMA goes down there flushing.
I quit.
This is dumber than we thought.
I don't think I have that wrong. No, you're probably right. What he's saying.
Like, here's the thing. I couldn't parse out what he was doing, but now that you say it, I'm like, no, that's probably exactly what
he's picturing flood, and then he's like, how do you get rid of water?
That's great.
Flushing. But they're not flushing hard enough, so we put it on the BET, then they'll all do it.
How much water was there from Katrina? Like 15 times as much as a flush?
Yeah, probably.
So okay. I will tell you a funny story of my own incompetence related to this. My first house that I had a sump pump that failed so many times. Like, it was a comical, like, what else could go wrong in this thing? My basement is flooded. So I was so fed up with this fucking basement, which I had worked very hard to finish the basement and build an apartment in this basement. So, like, I had all these, like, redundant systems that would never fucking flood again. And there was a time where the power went out and this and that. And I've got this, like, drop-in pump, and I've got a hose, and I'm feeding the water out of the sump pump to a drain that I did not realize drained back into the sump pump. So I've got a pump, and I'm draining water. And it took me 10 or 15 minutes. I've got this pump, and it's pumping into this hose. And the hose is running into a drain in the shower, and the shower is moving that fucking wastewater back.
Eventually, the hose is like, dude, what are you fucking doing?
Somebody say I'm on him with a phone. They're playing the Benny Hill music.
And I was like, it's not going down. 10 minutes. It took me 10 minutes to be like, oh.
You guys, the bad news is my basement's flooded. The good news is I found a source of infinite water. I know what you think. I didn't believe it at first either, but I found a never-ending fountain.
Perpetual water machine.
Oh, God. El Dorado is in my basement.
So that is going to wrap it up for episode 500, but we still have plenty of tape of the Puzzle and the Thunderstorm guys. We talked for a long time, so they'll be back on episode 501. We will have them back, basically playing all the tape that we recorded today for the following Monday. So you're going to want to tune in if you're a fan of their shows. We had a great time talking to them about plenty of other stories. Like we say, stay tuned for next week. We want to congratulate them for an amazing job raising a bunch of money. Like we said, we say it in the next episode, but we raised $300,000+. The final figure came in, and that's a whole lot of money to help a whole lot of families. And we want to thank our audience.
That's
for doing
amazing.
That. Yeah.
Cecil, I'm going to be a little schmaltzy for a minute. Yeah. I want to say, like, if you hadn't dragged me kicking and screaming into this hobby,
right.
You know, we've been interviewed a number of times, and like, it's always like, oh, how'd you guys get started? And like, the way we got started is the way that anything between us has gotten started, which is that you said we should do something and I agreed without a thought.
Yeah, you did.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, yeah, sounds good.
Yeah.
What was it again? Yeah. And then, you know, and then you did the legwork and we did this thing and you called me up and you're like, we're recording tonight. Yeah. I remember. And I was like, well, I don't even know what that means entirely.
Yeah.
And I went out to Best Buy and I bought a mic and, you know, we've been recording now for
over 10 years.
Yeah. It's funny because like I look at my son, I saw him, my son today. He's 12. He's coming up to 13.
Yeah.
And he was a brand new kid.
He was a baby. He was a newborn when we started. Yeah.
So we've been doing this a long time.
Yeah.
And we would not be doing this without you. Like if you hadn't suggested the idea and if you hadn't kind of dragged me kicking and screaming every step of the way, and this show is definitely like, it's changed my life for the better. I'm a better person because we do this show. And I like 500 episodes in, I'll pause for a second and I'll say publicly, thank you for it. I'm better for it.
One of the things that we've always bonded over when we first met and all the way through has been the conversations that have never been about the weather.
Right.
Like our entire existence has always been throw away that garbage veneer of how are the Bears doing?
Right.
And talk about something deeper. And it's been like that since we very first met. And that actually was a clash between us
because
we disliked each other when we first met. And when we started talking and hanging out and bonding over some very deep topics, it became important to me to have these conversations. Right.
Yeah.
And so we were having these anyway.
Right.
We were having these conversations all the time. And it's fun to go back and hear us change our minds. It's fun to go back and hear us
have epiphanies that seem so obvious.
Rudimentary now. You're like, I'm embarrassed than my once was.
Yeah, yeah. But it's fun to go back and hear that stuff. Yeah. And it's made our friendship very close for a very long time. Yeah. And it's been a wonderful thing to work with you on this and turn it into something more than a hobby. It's not a business because both of us are not, you know, we're not employed by the show, but right. We have an employee
right.
That we pay a lot of money too.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, part of the team. We have a space where we go to. The show is very different from when we first started, which was, you know, an office chair and talking into a microphone headset that, you know, and that's the nature of podcasting. And we've had a lot, I think we've had a lot of fun along the way. We've traveled the world and we've had a lot of great conversations, and here's to 500 more.
500 more, buddy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's going to wrap it up for this week. Be sure to tune in next week. Puzzle and Thunderstorm guys, we're going to be reading email next week. And we want to thank everybody for sticking with us for 500 episodes. We're going to leave you like we always do with the Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo quasi alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy healing, water downward spiral, brain dead pan, sales pitch, late night info docutainment. Leo, Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death and towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards, vaccine nuts, shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your sides. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
The opinions and information provided on this podcast are intended for entertainment purposes only. All opinions are solely that of Glory Hole Studios, LLC. Cognitive Dissonance makes no representations as to accuracy, completeness, currentness, suitability, or validity of any information, and will not be liable for any errors, damages, or butthurt arising from consumption. All information is provided on an as-is basis. No refunds. Produced in association with the local Dairy Council and viewers like you.